Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. Three fun hours straight ahead. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? I'm all good. Andy Bucker, getting closer and closer to the weekend as it is, like you said, Thursday. Good night of sports. Another great catch in the baseball. You said the
catch?
Yeah. Like Michael Jordan was out there reaching out there.
In the college game, right?
College
the kid
game.
Went over. The Durham. It was
like,
a minor league
game.
It's crazy.
Great catch by him and everything like that. But yeah, great night as far as NBA stuff.
I decided to stay up and watch the whole game.
I would stay to watch that.
I don't know why I did.
After the first, I know as I this morning I found more about the game that Lakers did come back and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh God, this game is raggedy.
It was a raggedy game.
And you know why I was raggedy? Because Rudy Gobert was dominating.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Now, I think dominating is probably the right word. You're probably right.
Rudy dominated that game, man.
And maybe this is because I'm a hater, and
okay.
I'm gonna allow for that possibility as I dive into this take.
Okay.
Okay. We've seen enough Rudy Gobert.
Yes.
He's been in the league long enough to know that Rudy Gobert doesn't go out there and just do that because Rudy Gobert's doing it. You know what I mean? Rudy's not just fed up,
right,
you know?
Right.
I've had enough of this. I'm ending this series. This is it.
Yeah.
Putting my French foot down.
Right.
You have to allow Rudy Gobert to dominate you like that.
Hey,
and the Lakers
that ain't
asked for it.
All Rudy,
you're right.
Rudy
did a great job.
Yeah.
But those decision makers over there, and testy J.J. Redick is chief among them.
He was sitting down with that dumb ass.
It was a bad question, but his response was very, very, very bad.
Who asked that question? Like L.A. Lakers basement.com.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
it was a poorly asked question.
Yes, it was.
But no one cares about that. All they care about is JJ's weird, like, childish reaction to it. Reggie Miller's telling stories on the broadcast about how he had to, like, tell JJ to chill in their pre-show, like, meeting.
Yes.
It was like, hey, man, we're just trying to pick your brain about some stuff so we can broadcast the game tonight.
Why do you need me to do that?
Told the world that they weren't going to play a center in the game, and then Rudy Gobert goes off for 27 and 24.
Yeah, man, Rudy dominated.
I mean, yeah. You gotta take a long look in the mirror about your strategic approach to the second half of Game 4 and the entirety of Game 5.
He has nobody.
I guess.
All right, yeah, everybody,
I guess.
Everybody keep on hollering about Jackson Hayes. He cried in the locker room, didn't he?
Oh, sure.
He
cried before the game.
You know, he's a little crying.
When they told him he was going to be sat down.
Yeah, you know, he don't look crying ass.
No,
he's
look. Don't mistake me for the person sitting here saying Jackson Hayes was going to change things.
Yeah.
But at least he's big. You know what I mean?
He's tall.
At least he's tall.
Yeah. He's tall.
He might have got maybe Rudy would have only had 19 rebounds or something. Maybe Rudy wouldn't have had 9 offensive rebounds. Like, Anthony Edwards was content to go 0 for 11 from 3.
Yes.
Because those are basically assists. Like, Anthony Edwards shooting threes was just Rudy Gobert getting offensive rebounds and making layups.
Yes.
Ant-Man's like, yeah, I went 0 for 11, but if you, you know, really take into account, that's really 9 assists right there because Rudy grabbed all of them and put them back up and in. So, yeah, Rudy dominated.
Yes.
But they let him do it.
You don't let Rudy do anything.
Uh-huh.
Rudy does what he wants.
Yeah, like start COVID.
Well, we all know he did that. But, it was a very interesting, funny game. I laughed so hard about that. But, yeah, then I was really irritated because I forgot the race started at 3.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like 4. I was like, oh, damn, the race wrong.
Well, you did yourself a favor.
Yeah, I guess I did.
You missed part of it.
Come on, man. Like, I did, like, just conceding. I don't want to say they conceded because Chris Sale did start. But God almighty.
Yeah.
The Rockies?
Mm-hmm.
Of all teams.
Yeah, the worst the team, worst start ever.
Worst
no,
start.
That's a tie for, or I guess they had been shut out one time at Coors Field years ago. But three hits is tied for the worst offensive performance they've ever had at Coors Field. They've played like 120 games there. One run, obviously they got shut out once, but they've only had one run games like twice at Coors Field. To go up against that team in that park and have that type of performance, with not to say that there was like a ton on the line. It's a game at the end of April, but it would have been pretty cool to get back to 500 and come back home and all that. So yeah, it's just a bad performance.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Sale pitched good.
I thought Chris Sale was fine. I mean, gave him the one homer that was a line drive and all those things. But yeah, I thought he was fine, but yeah, just didn't want to get it up. I think, and I go back to just being 500, got the Dodgers in town. We know how big a series that's going to be this weekend. Hopefully the weather cooperates, Bunk, this weekend, and you can get all the games in on time and stuff like that. But, yeah, that was just the thing that you always talk about. They did win another series. Great. But just
that's four series in a row.
Winning, you know, it was just beating them.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm with you. I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to, like, I don't know, excuse it or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, it, you know, it is. They suck in the daytime. I don't know how else to put it.
What's the record?
They're like 3-10 in day games. They have the least amount of wins in day games in baseball.
Damn. Is there a day game in this stand?
Probably. At some point, probably. I mean, you usually have one, you know.
Damn.
I don't know. They're bad when the lights are on. I don't know. Or when the sun's out. They're good. I guess they're good when the lights are on. They're bad when the sun's out.
Yeah, that's what
I don't know.
They're not good daytime lovers.
Yeah, I got, look, yeah, I mean, yeah. Here's kind of my main take from that game yesterday was we're still not fully removed from, all right, they're okay.
Right.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're certainly better than they were at the beginning of the season. There's no question. The lineup's just better. Like, you don't have Brian De La Cruz and Chadwick Tromp and guys that aren't Major League Baseball players in your lineup, like populating like 35 to 40% of your lineup like you did. But you had Eddie Rosario in there.
Yeah.
And he's not a Major League hitter.
Yeah. I mean, tell me again, why was Eddie playing?
Somebody needed a day off, I guess.
Who needed a day off?
Verdugo.
Why?
It's tired.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Yeah, okay. I mean,
I'm not sure.
This is one of the hottest people in your lineup.
Yeah.
They're playing well since he's been in the lineup.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't understand why baseball players need days off ever. But
is he an old veteran? Is he a guy that's got some years behind him?
He's not a rookie or anything.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Verdugo's probably like 30.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, you know what happens when you turn 30 as a ball player? You got to get rest.
How old is Alex Verdugo?
Yeah, you know, it just seems like, you know, you want to.
He's 28, that's a tough age.
Yeah, that is tough age right there, man. Yeah, you know, you're still developing.
Plus, he's from Arizona, so they played in Arizona the previous series, so, you know, probably a lot of responsibility seeing his family and stuff. Get tickets for people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's a long season, and sometimes Eddie Rosario is going to play.
It is also,
Eddie Rosario will probably only be on the team for 3 weeks.
You think so?
Yeah. When Ronald Acuna comes back, somebody's got to go.
And it's going to be Eddie.
Probably going to be Eddie.
It's probably going to be Eddie.
Because that's the thing about it is, like, you know, this is why I can't work myself into anything other than, when stuff like this happens, because you just need bodies sometimes.
Right.
And Eddie Rosario is the 26th man on the roster. But and
you know you didn't have to play him yesterday.
I know, but it's a day game after a night game, final day of the road trip, coming home. I don't know.
I mean, the only person
sometimes guys are going to play.
The only time I can think of a guy who probably night game, day game is Sean Murphy.
Yeah.
Which they did.
They did.
Yeah, but Verdugo? Okay.
Look, I don't know. I don't know. But he played, and sometimes they're going to do stuff like that. And hopefully you can still beat the terrible Rockies when that happens, but they couldn't yesterday. When we got off the air yesterday, we knew that Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich was going to speak with the media at some point. It happened pretty quickly after we got off, right? Like, that was like early in the 2 o'clock hour. Obviously, that was in relation to the fine that the team got and that he got over the data breach. The fact that his son took the phone number of Shedeur Sanders and likely other players and made some prank calls, I thought his comments were spot on. I mean, I thought he said the right stuff. I don't really know what else he was going to say. No. But, I didn't do a good job. I take responsibility for it. My son's actions, inexcusable and all that kind of stuff. So, good.
Yeah, all right.
Good. I think Carl and Mike were talking about this, and they're right about it. We said going into the offseason, at least for us, was let's put an emphasis on defense to show a commitment to that side of the ball
right.
that maybe will lead to something being different. Mm-hmm. And they did do that. So yes. that's good. So yes. like one of the asks of the offseason was accomplished. One of the next steps for this franchise is going to be, and I don't know, like it's hard to say pattern because it's all different, but it just continues to be this weird nonsense.
Yes.
Like we got to get to a place where stuff is just tightened up
mm-hmm.
and the Falcons don't have their logo on TV associated with a topic that's just absurd.
Right.
I don't have an explanation for why it continues to happen, and I don't have a fix for it. I had a fix for the defense stuff. Spend money and draft guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. they did that. I don't know because these things are all different, like the Kirk Cousins thing last year and this thing and the Arthur Smith, Bijan stuff and even back further than that. Like But it for whatever reason, keeps happening to mm-hmm. them. So they got to stop. Yep. Like they've as an organization, they've got to get to a point where the nonsense off the field only happens to the Falcons stuff stops happening to the Falcons.
Well, I think the biggest thing with this team right now is that they're still – something lingering over it, and you mentioned
right.
the name.
Right.
There's still. That's why we were asking. You know, understand, hang on, and I'll be patient with the whole thing. Just eliminate that one thing, and it could have been eliminated earlier because it's going to be a story again.
Exactly.
And after the draft, it was a story about the backup quarterback. So it's going to be something because of that situation is still there, whether he's on the team or whether he's off the team. And so until all that's gone. I mean, it could be quiet all the way up to training camp for the rest of the year for the Falcons. But there's going to be something at the beginning of training camp about this quarterback, about this backup quarterback. And so I wish they would have went ahead and got rid of all of that stuff and just be done with it, and let's just get through this offseason. Now, I couldn't foresee what happened on the draft and all that other stuff.
Right. It's all this stuff's impossible to predict.
But
That's what I mean.
But I can predict this?
Yes, this is predictable.
Yeah, this is predictable.
Yes, the Kirk Cousins yes. is your backup quarterback. Nonsense side story stuff is predictable.
Yes.
Because you have a quarterback who's inexperienced, and as soon as Michael Penix has a bad game, then that stuff starts up
yes.
again. Or whatever. Like, who knows? I don't know. He goes on a podcast and says something that he shouldn't say because Kirk Cousins has a past history of not being able to keep his thoughts to himself or whatever. Like, whatever he does going forward, because he's your backup quarterback and he's associated with your, it's not as easy as everyone wants to sort of simplify it to like, well, wouldn't it be nice to have a capable backup just in case? It's not as simple as that.
Yes.
Because of who he is and why he's here
right.
and who's starting and what you're trying to do as an organization and all that kind of stuff. Like the easiest thing to do is just not have it there.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, God forbid you don't have a good backup, something happens to Penix, and then you're up blank creek.
Right.
That would be terrible.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
But like,
not as bad as him getting hurt.
Right. Not as bad as Penix getting yeah. hurt. And so, yeah, I mean, that's something that if I were them, and I don't know, I already probably would have done something about it.
Yes.
But maybe I would have sacrificed the ability to get something in return for him. I still think very much they want to do that. They're just trying to wait for either the Steelers or some team to become desperate in the summer because of an injury or something like that. But those things are no guarantee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if that's what you're waiting for, you may be not.
Yeah, you may not be able to do anything about
and,
it. Yeah, and but I understand. No, I'm going to stop saying I understand Terry them situation because I don't understand. Get rid of them and go on about your business.
Yeah, just move
you're
on.
You're gonna take a hit regardless.
Right.
You know, it's going to be a hit. It's going to be a stain and all those different things, especially if he goes somewhere and plays well. But at the same time, just let's get this team, this 2025 Falcons offseason, whatever you want to call it, because now you're in more of the football phase of everything with the workouts and the OTAs and
yeah.
minicamp break.
That's mini what camp. It is.
That's what it needs
the
to be.
The stories need to be football stories.
Yes. Yes, because that's where you're at. That's this the part of the season that you're in. You're in football. Ain't no more combines and workouts and visits and no more hirings.
Or whatever other possible stuff
yes.
could happen.
Yes.
We think.
No, there's other stuff that can happen.
Of course there
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
And they tend to find it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like when we can start having the stories regarding the Falcons just be football stories,
football stuff.
It'll be the best for everybody.
Yes. Will that happen sooner rather than later? Because what's going to happen is.
No,
because
they don't play football until September.
Exactly. That's what I'm going to say. So once they get back into the it's just strictly about football groove, something's going to happen. And more likely it's going to be that. But it's only a distraction if you allow it to be. And I'm also.
Only a distraction if he's here.
But that's what I'm saying. But it's going to be one. But
right.
I'm talking about.
If he's not here.
I'm talking about player wise.
If he goes away and plays good, who cares?
I'm talking about player wise, the distraction part of it.
Sure. Like, for those guys.
Yeah.
But like for everybody else and talking about it and those people on TV, the Falcons logo being on. I want the next time the Falcons logo is on TV to be for a good reason.
Yes. A big win or something
or
like
something,
that.
Or just like, hey, the draft was fun.
Right.
Or. I don't know, we're previewing an offense that we think might be good or whatever. Like the million other reasons they're talking about other teams. Not, well, Falcons are fined $250,000 because the defensive coordinator's computer got broken into by his son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm tired of that. But,
it's like this unpredictable nonsense. But they've got to stop.
You mentioned Carl and Mike, and just like Mike and Carl were saying, I'm over it now. We can stop talking about it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah,
and stop talking about it.
But I'm also like, tired of being tired of Falcons topics. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice if it's something that we'd be like, oh, I wish we could keep talking about it. Every Falcons topic is like, boy, I hope this is over soon. Good Lord. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You know, I was telling some of these guys just the comfort knowing that, hey, we're a year into the system. The guys, there's a ton of continuity coming back. Last year, it was completely new system, a lot of new players, everybody kind of getting to know each other, learn each other. I know my coaching staff really well. I know our players really well. I know what we did well, you know, from a schematic standpoint, and what our guys can do, and what are some of the things that we can do going forward with a different quarterback. So it feels like once the offseason hit, I was like, man, this feels really nice to be able to just kind of.
There we go. Football stuff. the Falcons coach talking about football stuff. Now, what that was Zach Robinson, the Falcons offensive coordinator. I didn't realize that yesterday was media availability for all of the assistant coaching staff. Right. I thought Jeff Ulbrich was just meeting with the media to address the fine and all that stuff from yesterday, which he did. I don't think anybody asked him anything about defense.
Anybody asked him about the new addition to the defense or anything?
No, the quotes that maybe they did, but the quotes that I see on here are apologizing to the Sanders family, something about the prank call. Past few days have been like for him as a father, his reaction when he found out that his son was involved, and that's it.
Okay. maybe they give him a chance.
Maybe, yeah. We'll circle back on the two edge rushers that they drafted in the first round and the two DBs that they got after that. Because I have to imagine, in fact, I know for a fact, because I saw him on TV on Thursday
night. He was happy as hell.
Bear-hugging Terry Fontenot.
Yes.
We even asked Terry Fontenot about that on Friday.
Yes.
Like, I think Jeff Ulbrich was the only coach we asked Terry Fontenot about on Friday in the interview that we had, because we saw how happy he was during the draft because of what they did in the first round. So we know that he's excited about those guys. How could he not be?
No.
When we talked to Jeff Ulbrich right after he was hired by the Falcons, he had the right quote. He was like, yeah, I mean, I do think that I'm good at this. I do think I'm paraphrasing. I think I'm better now than I was previously. I learned a lot in New York, whatever. But, like, I'm only as good as my roster.
Right.
So getting some better players.
It helps.
Probably fire you up as a DC.
You think so, right?
But, you know, he's got other stuff going on, too. Yeah.
But,
so I understand.
But, yeah, I mean, going back to what Zach was talking about, another year in the system is always good for everybody. I think, and it's helped for him also because he knows the strengths and weaknesses of his players and what and where he can put guys, where he can't put guys. And he learned that over the course of the first year. And now you come back, you add stuff to it, new quarterback with different physical skill sets than the other guy. And so, you know, you try to, you know, then you go back to left-handed quarterback. Okay, the protection has to slide the other way now. And I mean, so many nuances of going into this offseason with a new offensive core that's pretty much the same thing except for the quarterback.
Right. So it is, but then also the most important part of it is different, right?
Yes.
And they had him for three games, and obviously everyone's hyped about what Penix can be and all that kind of stuff. But that's the fun unknown. That's the fun headline about the Atlanta Falcons between now and when the season gets here that we won't know until they play actual games. But it's a fun thing to wonder about and what worry about or whatever is, like, how good can Michael Penix be and how quickly can he be that good?
Yes.
Like, that's fun.
Yes.
That's actually – I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to those conversations.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that they are.
I don't think I'll get tired of that topic.
Well, I mean, I think that when you look at the way that this team is constructed, I don't want to put everything on Michael Penix, but if Michael Penix plays well with the key additions that they brought in, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine and everything like that. And because they play in the South, they should win this division. Now, we're so far away from all that.
There's a lot that still has to happen.
But yet, you know, the more and more you get the reps from as a first-team quarterback, the more and more you get comfortable with these guys. Because this is where all that stuff starts building right now when you're a young quarterback, the offseason. I mean, once the OTAs and minicamps are over, this still ain't over no more. You know, they'll probably go down somewhere, throw around and things like that right before you go on a little vacay before training camp. But it all starts now. And Michael being in that building every single day as an unquestioned quarterback. Because this time we knew Kurt was the unquestioned, but we knew there was a guy behind him.
Yeah. I mean, at this time last year, we were still like,
okay.
They really drafted Penix 8th, huh?
Yeah.
And they signed Kirk?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now we ain't got to worry about it.
And now we're like, thank God they did that.
Yeah. Now we ain't got to worry about that.
Well, now we got to worry about it in the opposite.
Yeah.
Kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but more likely, we ain't worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just take care of the other part of it, and then we can really just focus on the guy. All right. Dyson Daniels won an award.
Go,
we got an individual award. Here he is talking about it.
I'm a humble guy, and I don't like to, you know, go at anyone or anything, but, I knew that, you know, I deserve this award the most. You know, I feel like I improved the most this year, and, I feel like my first 2 years, you know, I couldn't really do any worse.
I think this.
Couldn't really do any worse?
Yes.
what an awesome quote.
I think it might have been just being you. I don't listen as closely to other stuff, but I know that whenever I come on talking about defensive player of the year for Dyson, we're like, yeah. But what about most improved player? I know we did mention it a while back when people were talking about, you know, as far as him being the defensive player of the year, which he runner up.
Yeah, he's close. It's hard to be defensive player of the year on a defense as bad as the Hawks.
He's going to be first team all defense.
Yeah, he'll win defensive player of the year eventually.
But I think it's a great thing, and it goes back to what Landry did as far as his acquirement of this young man, because we know who the hell this guy was. You remember, like, who the hell is Dyson Daze? And then we got an opportunity to see a little bit of him in the Olympics.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's a relentless defender.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
I still didn't know he was going to come in and do what he did.
No, there's no way.
But I know he's going to have that many steals.
But that's always that phrase of just opportunity. He wasn't getting opportunities in New Orleans.
That is what I think the most improved player is. What? I think it's the player that gets the most opportunity increase.
Yes.
Because, yeah, of course, like, they improved. But I remember years ago when we used to do a weekly interview with CJ McCollum when he was in Portland, he won the most improved player. Mm-hmm. And we were like, congratulations on winning the most improved player. He was like, yeah, thanks. I was like, no, you're not happy about it? Right. And he was like, well, I don't think I improved that much. Right. I just played more.
Right.
Like, and last year I played 8 minutes a game, and this year I played 34 minutes a game. Yeah. Like, they just gave me an opportunity.
Hopefully I improved.
So Dyson Daniels just didn't really play at all when he was in New Orleans, which is crazy because they were not good. No. Like, how could he not crack that lineup with as bad as they were?
And as bad as the least amount he's played, how did you know to get asked for him in his trade?
Right, that was well done.
Or did they throw him in? You know what I mean? One of the two.
No, he was like it, wasn't he? Like,
because I remember
you got a draft pick, but there wasn't like another name.
Exactly. So you're like, okay, to ask for this guy, not knowing, you know, and I still think he has a ceiling. We know the offensive game is still a work in progress, especially when he's driving to the hoop left. But, you know, it's still something that, you know?
He was asked to do a lot more than I thought he was going to be asked to do offensively, too. Like, he was the backup point guard for 60 games, you know? hopefully he doesn't have to do as much of that next year. He did an okay job when he was asked to do that. But, yeah, I mean, ideally, Dyson Daniels is your lockdown perimeter defender and, like, your fourth or fifth option on offense, right?
Can we get him a
like, ideally.
Well, oh, God. Oh,
because ideally you're going to have Trey, Jalen Johnson, and Reese Shea on the floor with him.
And who was the guy with Russell Westbrook, the wing that couldn't shoot but played the hell out of defense? Williams? Robertson.
Oh, yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, he's still there. Robertson still?
Oh, no. Sorry. You know, yeah, I know what you're talking about. In Oklahoma City.
He just played defense, locked down people, and then he was standing in the corner and shoot three.
Uh-huh.
I think Dyson's a little bit more than that.
He is more than that. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to be a good team, he's probably your fourth guy offensively, right? Because those other three guys are better offensively, right? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty.
Jalen Johnson, definitely. The other guy,
Trey, definitely, 100%.
The other guy's got to continue to grow. Because, I mean, I won't say I'm disappointed in what Reese Shea did, especially in the playing round. Because, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not a great taste left in your mouth final two
games.
Tastes
like French food.
Wasn't good. Yeah. That wasn't a very good wasn't a very good way to leave the season. But I like the last couple months of the year. I thought he was pretty good.
Awesome, aggressive, everything.
All right. Speaking of French people, probably the story of the game last night was this guy.
Dante wing right. He'll move to his left. He'll fire in a three. It's offline. Rudy got the rebound and slammed it home. A new postseason career high, 27 points, and a new postseason career high, 21 rebounds for the big man.
Rudy, that y'all must have forgot.
Man.
Tell him, Rudy.
Rudy Gobert had 27 and 24 last night.
Yes, he must have forgot.
And sent the Lakers packing.
Must have forgot.
They all, wow, that's that's unexpected. Yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't think Rudy Gobert was going to pack them up like that with 27 and 24 and send them off into their summer.
He thought Ant-Man was going to go out there and dominate, and it was going to be a wrap.
Yeah.
He's coming to play. He's coming to get y'all ass up out of here. And he played like butt.
Who?
Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Shot the ball.
He shot the ball poorly.
Really
I thought he still really kind of controlled the flow when he had the ball in his hand, because they were coming double teams and he was moving the ball.
But I mean, you looked at what JJ was trying to do more than anything. He was trying to keep the ball out of his hand and let them shoot from the perimeter. He just didn't anticipate Rudy Gobert.
It worked.
How do you not?
How
do you not anticipate Rudy Gobert?
I know.
You know, doing what he did.
Right.
But I think that's the hard
perimeter game plan worked.
Yes, it did.
The interior game plan
did not
work.
But that's why I was laughing. The funniest thing of all is watching Shaq have to give Rudy Gobert, like, credit. It was the funniest thing in the world watching Shaquille O'Neal give Rudy Gobert credit. But you have to. You have to. He did his thing.
Man had 27 and 24 in an elimination
game. Now you're at a point where, you know, JJ, you know, the smartest guy in the room. He's a brilliant basketball mind, don't get me wrong. And he was fine during the regular season to get them back to where they were and everything like that. And now the conversation is what you do with the whole Nico, how y'all – somebody owes Nico an apology. I didn't apologize to Nico for nothing. That's still a dumbass
trade. He still traded Luka Doncic when he didn't have to do that.
What happened was that they had the perfect team built around him.
Right, exactly.
They had the, they had the perfect team built around him.
That, to me, is the interesting part of the conversation now for them and honestly here in Atlanta as you try to build the perfect team around Trey. Like, it's just really hard to do that, even when the offensive talent is as – like historic as Luka's is, and he was banged up last night in the second half. We understand, whatever. But like, when you're trying to build your team around a guy who's so bad at something,
yes,
and Luka's so bad at defense. Like, I know again, last night I know he was hurt, whatever. Like, that was atrocious.
Yes.
It's really hard to build a really good team around a guy that's that bad at something, even when he's great at the other parts. And Dallas did it.
Yes, they did.
They actually really did do it. They did do it. And the Lakers aren't built like that at all right
now.
No. They got a lot of questions this offseason.
Yeah, but and then the guy who the trade got rescinded from Charlotte, go kick rocks.
Yes, yeah,
go kick rocks.
We'll get back to that later. Like, I don't want to.
Go kick rocks.
I don't like.
All right.
I don't like the only time you talk about a guy is just to hate on him.
Yeah.
But, like, I got some Mark Williams thoughts,
go
man.
Go kick rocks.
People are talking about this guy like he's damn Kareem.
Yeah. Exactly. Like,
how do we even know JJ would have played him?
Oh, my God.
JJ might not even played him.
Stop.
Genius as JJ is. We don't need any bigs out there. Just going to go small and let Rudy Gobert have the all-time Wilt Chamberlain game against us. All right, Smokin' Joe Patrick's going to join us next. Speaking of smartest guys in the room, can't come on tomorrow because he got to play in a media match. Demanded to come on today. We'll see how it goes. Who knows with Smokin' Joe after this on Sports Radio 92.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
End the game. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get back into all the news from the National Football League over the last 24 hours. We got a bunch of audio clips from Falcons assistant coaches who met with the media yesterday. I assume Smokin' Joe Patrick was in attendance. I guess there's no scrums when it's press conferences, which I know he hates.
Yes.
But... still, he can still get some jabs in there.
I mean, he likes to have body contact with others.
He does.
Yeah, and
he's a physical specimen.
He is, man, and you know, still got rock. I saw his video this morning. He's still rocking a Stone Cold.
Good.
And everything that should be beneficial for him tomorrow in the media match, as
right, which is why he has to join us today.
Yes,
because he's got to start hydrating and prepping.
Because him and Abe are going to go at it.
Yeah,
they're going head to head, toe to toe, and everything. My money's on Abe mainly because he's our one of our show people.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that being said.
I've seen him. Abe's better.
He's better than Joe?
Mm-hmm.
You would tell you, you would know more than me. Like, you actually went and watched Abe play.
Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah. I played with Abe. Yeah. Abe's pretty good. Oh, he is. Pretty good soccer player.
To what standard?
Yeah, right. The standard of the level we were at. Like, I'm not saying he could play for Argentina.
You never know.
But like,
I bet Abe thinks he can.
In the co-ed 7-on-7 league we played in, Abe was pretty good. And against the Atlanta soccer media, Abe's quite good. with that, let's get to Smokin' Joe Patrick.
Did Joe give up 12 goals last year?
A couple years ago. So Joe had a rough second half.
Don't call yourself short, Andy. Don't call yourself short. Buck and Negro love you.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you guys. I'm not playing tomorrow.
Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Okay.
But like Carlos Bocanegra thinking I'm good, is that even a compliment? ran him up out of here.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely is.
Like Joe,
never let that down, Andy. A couple things, guys. Yeah. First, I will concede that Abe is probably better than me. Definitely in better physical condition.
He's loving that.
Than me.
He's loving that.
Two, without the hair, I'm so white and now bald, I've got to like start suntanning, put the suntan lotion on now to prepare for tomorrow,
Right, sure.
And yeah, it's been a fun day. We were scrumming, by the way, yesterday. So we were, you know, the martial art, really. You gotta be able to, you know, work the space, not let anyone get too close, you know, as Shale Sonnen used to say.
No, I didn't. So, yeah. I didn't know that that the media availability was happening. Like, we're not the beat reporters, so they're not going to tell us like this. We just knew that Jeff Ulbrich was going to meet with the media. I assumed that was simply in relation to the fine that came down yesterday. When you found that out, like when you found out that they fined the team $250,000 and him $100,000, what was your reaction to that?
My reaction was that it was a lot of money, and I understood why it happened. In fact, I actually was doing a radio hit with Dylan Matthews, our friend and colleague, about 15 minutes after the Falcons released their statement. I believe that was on Sunday, and I said that I expected Ulbrich to get fined at that time. I did not expect the team to get fined. I kind of understand why the NFL would have done that, but then after reading Mike Florio's report from last night, I think that kind of blows up the whole thing, really, because honestly, the NFL screwed up. They appear to have accidentally sent Shedeur Sanders' new phone number to like over 2,000 people. They sent it to every single assistant coach, which means that they sent that number directly to Ulbrich. That number would not have come from the Falcons. And actually, the reason why we know this is because the NFL initially sent a list of phone numbers for various players to the top clubs that said, you know, this is confidential, don't share this with anyone. That confidential email had Shedeur Sanders' old phone number in it. So the fact that he was reached by his new cell phone number, and that's why there was this confusion as to how anyone would have gotten this, well, perhaps it was because the NFL sent it out to 2,000 people. And again, I think that was accidental. You would have think that they would have just sent that email with the new phone number for Shedeur out to the initial group that got the initial batch of phone numbers for top level executives. So anyway, I think the Falcons are probably in their right to appeal this. I don't know if they will. They may, you know, maybe it's just worth it to not like exacerbate
that's probably
the whole
a bad
thing.
Look.
Let it go.
Yeah. So it just depends. But I think, you know, if you put yourselves in their shoes, I think that, like, I know I would feel this way, guys. Like, if I did nothing wrong and then I got, like, fined for something, I'd be like, I followed every single rule. And, you know, obviously, yeah, and this is not to absolve Jax Ulbrich. And, you know, Jeff I thought, really, he was like a man, basically, standing up there and taking responsibility for it. And honestly, not even, like, putting the blame on his son, but just taking it on himself, which I thought was, you know, excellent of him to do. And they're not disputing the fines. He said that yesterday. They totally accept the punishment. But I think on the Falcons side, I think, you know, there's this notion that the Falcons as an organization are kind of, you know, bumbling and making all these mistakes. And that's, you know, they have been fined several times. And this kind of just perpetuates that. And I got to feel like people in that building are feeling just kind of spurned by the fact that, like, we actually didn't really like this leak, the security leak that definitely happened and people needed to be punished for. We weren't really involved in it. It came directly from the NFL. And as far as accountability is concerned, I'm sure they're probably also like, where the hell is the NFL's accountability in this? Like who sent out that email to all these, you know, tens of thousands of people. So anyway, it's this story that I don't think anybody really like likes to talk about it, but it's one of those annoying ones. Sorry, I went on the rant there.
So no football questions were asked him at all about the guys who they drafted for him or anything like that?
To Ulbrich yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he didn't talk anything about football because he already did a press conference. I believe it was on Friday or Saturday.
Okay.
Kind of talking more of the football stuff. And that's where we kind of found out that, like, Billy Bowman is going to play nickel. You know, they're going to kind of keep Jalen Walker. Yes. They want him, you know, Ulbrich said they want him to master the edge.
That's right. We had that on Monday. That's right.
What did you learn anything from Zach Robinson in his press yesterday?
I mean, honestly, it's more just like it feels like these coaches are really excited. And, you know, you get the sense that Zach Robinson is going to be able to open up his playbook a little bit this year because he kind of talked about the fact that, you know, it's not to be, you know, besmirch Kirk Cousins or anything, but like, you know, Michael Penix, just because of the natural talents that he has, he can access parts of the field, not just that Kirk Cousins couldn't access, but that a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL can't access. And I think that he kind of is getting excited thinking about the ways that some of these guys, you know, they can get more of these guys open, and that there is just a familiarity amongst the whole building, at least on the player side. The sports side, there's familiarity that the players have with the coaches. that you know just people have with one another, but also then with the scheme as well. And I think that they feel like that can lead to just a whole lot more success for this Falcons offense, which they're going to need to have. This is going to be an offensively driven football team still.
Now that free agency has happened and the draft has happened, of course, there's still, you know, there's stuff that can happen later in the summer, and it always does. But what do you feel like the Falcons' biggest hole is now, after everything so far this offseason?
Yeah, they're not holes. I think there's, like, vulnerabilities for sure. I think one is kind of a traditional nose, you know, like in that base defense that, you know, you typically have, like, a 330-pounder in there nowadays. I don't know if they have that prototypical guy. Maybe they don't need that guy. Maybe, you know, Jeff Ulbrich and Nate Ollie can kind of, you know, scheme around that or just feel like they don't necessarily need that. But that's definitely a role, I would say, that's not really perfectly filled on this roster right now. And the one for me, I guess you could consider this technically a hole because actually Ryan Neuville is not technically part of the football team right now.
Feels like a hole.
That was going to be my question.
Feels like a hole to me.
He is like they have a right of first refusal. He's going to be on the team, obviously. I think they have to wait until June 1st where they plan to make some cuts. But there's nobody there to compete with him either. And like he's a guy who would be making, you know, getting basically his first year as a starting as a starter at that position, and there's no competition for him. So that, to me, is the real glaring one. I really thought that they would target that position in the draft. You know, Jared Wilson from Georgia kind of was selected just a few picks
before
the team traded up for Xavier Watts. So, you know, I think that maybe him getting selected actually maybe forced the Falcons, like, to make that trade to go up to get Watts, because I would have felt like they would have gone for Wilson had he dropped all the way to where the Falcons range to pick him.
Damn Patriots is just like, it was right.
Yeah.
Was like,
oh, they love falling. Georgia centers there.
They do.
I know he's like, he's falling right to him and everything like that. But, yeah, they would have and snatched him up and everything. So when you look at the – I'm going to go offensive line, period. How do you think they're playing this thing out with the left-handed quarterback? I mean, obviously, they didn't trade McGarry. They didn't draft a guy in the first round or everything like that. Do you look at it from a standpoint where, because I was talking about it earlier, the protection changes because of the left-handed guy. Did they get enough reps in the three games that he was there to be kind of satisfied with what you think they have as far as protection?
Yeah, I think that they're okay with what they have for now. I think they're going to let this thing roll with Caleb McGarry. There was no, you know, egregious errors that he made in, you know, the three games that he played with Michael Penix at the end of last year. And that's not to say that that couldn't happen. But, you know, I think that what they've seen from McGarry is good enough pass protection in most circumstances. And there will be times where they go up against some really dangerous speed rushers, which we all know that he has trouble with. And I think that they'll just try to scheme, or, you know, to help him as much as they can in some of those games. And, you know, they tried to do that at times last year. And you like the one that stands out is that first game of the season against TJ Watt, where he was just exploiting Caleb McGarry. And they tried to help him with Kyle Pitts, but Pitts was actually not helping at all either. And I would think that, Zach Robinson has actually probably learned from that experience and saying that's probably not the best way to help Caleb McGarry by using Pitts. So maybe they can, you know, use some other options, whether that's Charlie Warner, maybe in like a sidecar and shotgun or whatever it might be. I'm sure there's some creative ways they can do it. But, you know, I think for now they're just going to kind of keep rolling with this thing. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they do that down the line. But that's probably a conversation for maybe next offseason as to how they go about this. What I'm kind of curious about is, what could they potentially move Jake Matthews? And normally you wouldn't move a veteran that late in his career, but it's not like moving from the left to the right would be like a demotion for him, because you're still like you're moved so that you can protect our quarterback's blind side. Having said that, it's just a lot harder for an offensive lineman to move because they're so familiar with the way they set their feet on one side, and that gets completely reversed if you change him.
That's a lot of games at left tackle to be moving to right tackle at this point. Smoking Joe Patrick joins us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, normally on Fridays, but he's got a media match tomorrow. We saw that Drake London got his fifth year extended. No surprise there. What do you think happens between now and training camp in terms of trying to get a long-term contract for him?
You know, I think, I think that obviously they're going to be, you know, negotiating this thing up until we finally hear that they have, you know, come to some sort of extension. I don't know how much success they'll have, because I'm sure that they were trying to do that to this point and probably couldn't get something done. And so they go ahead and exercise the fifth-year option. But I think it speaks to the fact that Drake London and his kind of camp, as far as the business side goes, is very confident in what he can do as a player and is very willing to just let the thing ride, because if he puts in another year like he did last year, which I feel like the guy had the quietest, fourth rank in the NFL in receiving yards possible last. If he does that again, then his value is only going to go up. And generally, you know, the later you sign a contract, the more money you're going to get, because the league just keeps getting more valuable and player salaries just keep going up and up and up. And so the longer you can wait out, the better you'll be. Of course, you run risks of potentially being injured or you know, something like that, changing the picture. But it's going to be a tough negotiation, I think, for the Falcons. But honestly, like, they are going to work something out. I think that maybe Drake London as a player embodies what the Falcons want themselves to be from an identity standpoint and like a mentality, maybe more than any other player. I'm thinking like Chris Lindstrom, Drake London, like these are like Jesse Bates. These are the kinds of guys that you build a franchise around. So I have no doubts that he's going to be here for a long time.
We got 30 seconds, Joe. What's wrong with our soccer team since you're going to be out there tomorrow?
Man. I don't know. They're just totally broken. It's concerning that every player looks capable of making a big mistake or already has made a big mistake. And it just feels like if there's something systemically wrong when every player looks like they're playing at like a lesser degree than what we all think or know that they're capable of playing. So it's a big challenge for Ronnie Dyla. And I think it speaks to like the mentality. I think the mentality is just so low right now. The confidence is so low. It's hard to build back up, but they got to see the ball. It's like, you know, in golf, you just got to see a putt go in or a shot go in or something good happen, and you hope that can kind of spark things turning around.
Well, I think you guys going out there and showing them what it looks like tomorrow could maybe be the spark to turn it around.
Either
that or I don't know, because I know in the past the technical director and the manager have played. I don't know if they're playing tomorrow. I just, if I were you, I'd keep my head on a swivel. Because if my team lost 3-0 like 4 games in a row, I might want to kick Abe in the knee. You know what I mean?
No doubt. You know what I mean? No doubt.
All right.
Good point.
Thank you, Smoke and Joe. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Smoke and Joe Patrick there every single week at the end of the week, usually on Fridays. But today on Thursday, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle, kick off the noon hour. It's a Trillville Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.